You know, it's my great pleasure right now to introduce to everybody a man who really needs no introduction.
Carl.
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 Carl. Dragon.
King.
Carl. I'm not calling the fans geeks. I'm not calling them rednecks, tobacco chewing nothing, because I've done all that myself.
Carl.
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 Carl. Dragon.
King. Carl.
In your dreams, you will see me.
Excuse me, please, let's don't talk negatively.
I'm going to win the title. I'm going to keep my money and buy me some good old Tennessee drinking whiskey with it.
Thank you for being such a great husband.
And this is for you, Fannie Mae. Solid gold, baby, just like you and me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to When It Was Cool Wrestling. I am Carl Stern, your host. Thank you very much for joining me today. We're going to do a classic magazine review today in our rotation of classic wrestling shows. We're going back to 1993. In fact, this is the December 1993 issue of the WWF magazine. Yeah, I know I love the After Mags. That's my go-to. That's my favorites from back in the day. I never really read the WWF magazine much, but I do have several of these, and blessed times I've reviewed these, it's been received pretty well. So let's go through this. We got Razor Ramon on the front cover, and he is in action against, looks like Rick Martel. He has down on the mat. The cover has in the upper right hand corner says Doink. His special interview is no laughing matter. And I believe this is going to be Matt Bourne Doink. We'll see more as we get in there. It looks like Matt Bourne's pitcher as Doink. This is Razor Ramon. How long can the bad guy hold the belt? The Steiners. How did they lose the belts? Ludwig Borga. Yes, Ludwig Borma. Borga. Tony Halme. Can't wait to talk about him. He wasn't around American Pro Wrestling very long, but boy, he was something else. It says Ludwig Borga unleashes his scorn on America. Survivor Series, the Thanksgiving tradition. And finally, a Smoky Mountain Blaze. Check out Smoky Mountain Wrestling and its stars. Yes, they are working with Jim Cornette's Smoky Mountain Wrestling a little bit here. And so we'll get to see what they have to say about that. All right. The first two pages are a double page spread for the Hasbro action figures. I know many people love these Hasbro action figures. In fact, even today as we speak, they're doing retro versions of these Hasbro figures again, including producing new ones. I never cared for the Hasbro figures at all. Again, like the LJN figures that preceded them, they weren't in scale with anything else. They had very limited articulation. At least the LJNs had none. The Hasbros had a little bit, but generally speaking, it was just their arms and some kind of goofy action feature. They were cartoonish looking. I know some people love these LJN figures. I could not stand them. I do actually, I think I have one Hasbro figure still remaining and with my collection. I picked it up at like a yard sale or a thrift store or something. Greg the Hammer Valentine. Yeah, I may put that up on eBay. I don't know, but right now I've got it displayed on a shelf. Greg the Hammer Valentine. So keep an eye on our eBay store. If you're, it may pop up there. WhenItWasCool.com front page. Check out our eBay store. So it says World Wrestling Federation. Brace yourself against the nearest turnbuckle and hang on to your ring ropes because these new WWF action figures are coming at you. Collect all the hottest stars and the biggest names from the WWF. And new WWF figures have all the right moves, like ballistic body slams, electrifying elbow smashes, and furious flying drop kicks. Get out and pin yours down today before they get away. And again, these weren't in scale with anything. You know, 1993, this was kind of the tail end of G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe was no longer the big toy on the market. I think Masters of the Universe were out by this point in time. Your action figures on the shelves, probably Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were still out there. Probably latter days of Transformers. Power Rangers would have been your probably your biggest action figure line out there. There was some Marvel stuff. I think they had Toy Biz going at that point in time. And they were kind of goofy and over-stylized and whatever also. So, like, 93 wasn't at all really the best year for action figures and stuff. But here on this two-page spread, you know, looking at these, looking back, I mean, as far as, like, you know, shelf display or something, you know, these are all right. I wouldn't mind having just a, you know, shelf full of these guys if they were cheap, but they're not cheap. The Mountie, the Warlord, Virgil, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, Sid Justice, IRS, Skinner, yes, Steve Kern and Skinner, Hulk Hogan, of course. I had that Hulk Hogan not long ago. I bought it at the world's longest yard sale, and I resold it on eBay. Randy Savage, Rick the Model Martel, Tatanka, Repo Man. Wow, that figure looks ridiculous. Papa Shango. Let's see here, see if I can get to the next page here. The Undertaker, by the way, dominates the photo spread. El Matador, Ric Flair. That's cool. Berserker. Okay, Berserker's pretty cool because he's got like his fuzzy vest thing. Crush, Shawn Michaels, Nails. Wow, I don't know that I've ever seen the Nails figure before. Kamala, The Rocket, Owen Hart, and Razor Ramon. So, yeah, quite the little lineup there. The next one is we figured out with these WWF magazines, there are a lot of house ads. Lots and lots of WWF. It's essentially a WWF catalog. So next page is the Indica. The publisher at the time is Thomas H.W. Emanuel. See if we know any of these other people involved. Technical advisor and editorials, Howard Finkel. Okay, we certainly know him. Keith Elliott Greenberg is the field editor. He has written several wrestling-related biographies. Let's see if we recognize any more of the names here. That's all I recognize. No Vince Russo yet on the staff. Table of contents. Skip on down. Okay. Two Sides to Every Story by Janice. Whoever Janice is. So see what this is all about. It's got photos of Bam Bam Bigelow, IRS, Tatanka, and Razor Ramon. Not so long ago, newspapers reported that the U.S. Department of Education found that 90 million Americans can hardly read. That's probably not improved at all. Certainly, if 90 million Americans can't read, I would say it's probably closer to estimate now that, 300 million probably are just stupid. So that's, you know, I don't think we've improved much. Anyway, did you read it? Of course not. You're one of the numb nut. That's literally the word they use. 90 million. I always suspected that a few of the people who buy this rag of a magazine just look at the picture. So I guess this is their heel article, their Eddie Elner column here, whoever Janice is. I heard that Chief J. Strongbow was trying to teach Tonto or Tatanka to do it. What? Good luck. I once saw Strongbow in a soul food restaurant trying to read a menu. Problem is, he was holding it upside down. Wow, this is terrible. Well, maybe I'd better say it. Tatanka is a college graduate. He even received an appointment to West Point, but he chose to go to school closer to home. Sure. Doink, doink, doink. Sounds like a rusty bed spring. Well, Bam Bam Bigelow has heard enough doinks. I figure he's going to take that clown and twist him and twist him and twist him until he looks like a bed spring. So you get the gist of it here. Bret Hart, see what they say about Bret Hart. Bret Hart, I wish I looked as good as he does, but looks aren't what makes him great. Simply put, Bret Hitman Hart is a wrestler's wrestler. He's paid his dues tons over, and he's done what few men ever have. He's held all the gold there is to hold, and he's got years of ring battles ahead of him. So, whatever that's worth. We challenge you to take the best of WrestleMania for just $4.95 with subscription. So if you subscribe to the WWF magazine, Hulk Hogan standing there grinning at you like a possum, flexing his 24-inch pythons, brother, I guess you get for an additional $4.95, you can get a collector's edition of the best of WrestleMania. doesn't specifically say what's on here, what constitutes that. Let's see here. Actually, maybe it gives us a little bit of hint. Roddy Piper versus Rick the Model Martell in the Legion of Doom versus the Orient Express. No, that's in the best of superheroes. What's in the best of... Oh, this is for future events. It doesn't even tell us what's in the best of WrestleMania, so whatever. Fan Forum. I presume, as always, these are worked letters. To be or not to be, the smash hit Super Nintendo NES title is now available for the Sega Genesis. So we get a house, or we get a an actual non-house ad, I should say, for a Best of the Best Championship Karate game. This thing actually looks pretty darn terrible. Looks like you're Super NES fight. I've never seen this game before. Best of the Best Championship Karate. Wow. Yeah, it looks like a, you know, every boxing game you've ever seen, just using kickboxers, pretty much. What about that? Tough Talk. The World Wrestling Federation Tough Talk. Bad mouth, it says here. We got Jerry Lawler and Doink the Clown photoed together. It says, where is Jerry the King Lawler coming from? Bad mouthing Doink. Up chucking all that venom about the clown prince of wrestling. Maybe Doink's weird, but anybody who's watched him knows he could twist Lawler into a bow tie. We'd love to see Doink shut Lawler up for good. Man, these articles are just terrible. Suck it up. Steiner Brothers, now you know the cold facts about the World Wrestling Federation. You charged into it like raging bulls and quickly got what many other teams have been after for years, the tag team title. Then you lost it to a relatively new team. In the Federation, never take anybody for granted, never let down, and watch your back. It's probably a good lesson. If you learn from it, you'll be a greater versus the wrestlers in the future. Wow, they're dunking on the Steiners here. I guess the Steiners must have gave notice or something. Gunning for the belts. The Smoking Guns. Yes, Billy and Bart Gunn say they would like a crack at the current Federation Tag Team Champions, the Quebecers, Jacques and Pierre. Their request seems a bit premature to us. After all, what top-rated tag teams have the Guns beaten lately? Sure, they've been winning on television, defeating some green guys, but they haven't out-wrestled the likes of the Head Shrinkers or former champions, the Steiner Brothers. Guns, you guys shoot your pistols like marksmen, but you shoot off your mouth like novices. Start beating the best, and you might get a chance at the best. Well, all right. Limited time offer, another house ad. Free 1994 Royal Rumble program. Wow, that's the underwhelming perks for subscribing to the WWF magazine, which is mostly house ads in a catalog. Newsbeat, hot off the press. Oh, there's Jack Tunney staring at us. He's going to make a ruling on something probably. Adam, bummed out. Adam Baum is really bummed out. Remember, he comes from the 3 Mile Island. In August, it was announced that the last of the 300,000 gallons of radioactive water from the 3 Mile Island disaster had evaporated. The story made the news wires. It also made Adam very sad. Maybe he used to bathe in it, even drink it. Well, now his precious elixir is gone, gone, gone. My God, what a stupid magazine this is. Tunney owned Michaels. World Wrestling Federation President Jack Tunney was asked by Newsbeat to elaborate on his stripping Shawn Michaels of the Intercontinental title. Here's what Tunney had to say. Shawn Michaels was guilty of unprofessional behavior. There's absolutely no room in the World Wrestling Federation for acting in an unprofessional manner. I had to do what I did. I had no choice. As for the manner in which the new holder of the belt, Razor Ramon, was decided, Tunney said, as far as I'm concerned, it was the fairest way to decide who would be the new champion. In other words, I guess they probably hadn't decided yet at press time to go to the magazine. Barry's surprise. Yes, we get an article, a short little blurb about Barry Horowitz, of all people. Speaking of Monday Night Raw, did you get a load of the partner Barry Horowitz picked when his scheduled partner had to cancel out of a match with tag team champions, the Quebecers? The 1-2-3 Kid. Horowitz and the Kid? Give Kid credit. He accepted Horowitz's gesture, and the two of them looked good together. except one time during a four-man brawl when Barry put a headlock on Kid by mistake. Horowitz seems to thrive on being the Kid's partner and did himself proud. The pair almost pulled off a shocker. After the Quebec's Jacques was hurt and had to be carried off on a stretcher, Pierre had to go it alone. But the match became so furious that it ended in a double countout with no title change. The Friendly Finn, it says, with the picture of Ludwig Borga. A Finnish friend of one of our editors had something to say about Ludwig Borga the other day. "We respect his strength and his athletic ability," said the Finn. "We Finns are tough people, but speaking for myself, I don't like what Borga says about America. As Lex Luger says, why does Borga take a paycheck in America if he dislikes the place so much?" Clowning around, yes, doink, and this seems like an excuse to use different font types to make this a comic-looking little blurb here. "Did you happen to check out the additional confrontation between Doink the Clown and Bam Bam Bigelow on Monday Night Raw not so long ago? It happened after Doink had finished a match victoriously. Bigelow really has it in for the Clown Prince of Wrestling, World Wrestling Federation. It took very firm action by referee to prevent Bam Bam from attacking Doink. But we watched Doink very carefully. He wasn't rattled in any way, shape, or form. Come Survivor Series, Bam Bam may find out that, when it comes to wrestling, Doink doesn't clown around." This is some of the simplest trope I've ever seen in my life. WWF Royal Rumble, video game house ad here for the two-page spread, by the way. Like I said, the WWF magazine was mostly house ads for their stuff. Here is the personality profile is on Luna. Yes, Luna Vachon, who passed away a number of years ago, sadly. She was at this time being Bam Bam Bigelow's, quote, main squeeze. So it was during that little... The article concludes with a paragraph. "Bigelow has given Luna a fitting nickname. Not only does it speak of her personality, but it sheds light on the entire Vachon dynasty. He calls her the Tick, as in lunatic. It's appropriate, especially when one considers Papa Butcher and her uncle Mad Dog." And then you get a big photo, full-page photo of Luna Vachon there. The interview for the magazine, and again, I presume this is a worked interview. Maybe not, I guess they have access to these people, so perhaps so, but I imagine this is just a scripted, written interview. This with Doink the Clown, of all people. See if there's anything of any... No, it's mostly just... Looks like it's just hijinks of Doink, although they do have a photo spread of him. They do have pictures of Doink here posing, including an entire page of just Doink there, and it does look like this is Matt Bourne here. "Anybody can beat up a little guy. I take pride in wrestling bigger guys. They're more of a challenge to me," says Doink in one of his featured quotes. Most of it's just, clown comedy, I suppose. "Any closing words to your newly found fans? Keep laughing, keep smiling, and never say never." Wow, inspirational babyface Doink is just not interesting at all. Lex Luger is the poster child for ICAPRO here. It's their hockey maximum muscle mass and definition in just 9 weeks. Yeah, I think this ICAPRO was pretty much it's one of them GNC witch doctor supplement things that probably really does absolutely nothing whatsoever, but WWE made some money off of it, I do believe, although I understand there were tons of it stacked up and they couldn't give the stuff away at the end. Steiner's bag belts. There's Rick Steiner with Quebecers bag belts. So it looks like the main story they got to talk about in this issue is the Steiners losing the tag team titles. Battle of the Titans by Vince Russo. Okay. He wasn't listed in the credits, but here he is with a tagline, a writing credit here. "Steiners ripped on Raw. The fluorescent light that once lit the dim dressing room shattered into a million pieces, creating a rainstorm of broken glass. Cool it, Scott. It's not worth it, Rick Steiner screamed to his younger brother. Not worth it, Scotty yelled as he bashed yet another light courtesy of Johnny Polo's hockey stick. We just lost the explicit of tag team belts. The day ended for the Steiner brothers much the same way it began. Earlier, all seemed well as hordes of wrestling fans lined New York City's ancient Manhattan Civic Center 2 hours prior to bell time to see Scott and Rick defend their World Wrestling Federation tag team belts against the Quebecers. Canadians, Jacques and Pierre were a formidable new tag team, even though many fans had labeled them as Dudley Do-Right wannabes. The Quebecers were a team that was surely going to make some noise. The good old boys from Michigan are a different story. Wrestling critics have called them not only the best tag team in North America, but the best in the entire world. If they did not beat you with their raw physical strength, then they beat you with an unlimited arsenal of technical moves. A python-like hiss slithered through the crowd as the proud Canadians, with their new manager Johnny Polo at their flank, marched into the building. We're not the Mounties, rang over the PA system until it was interrupted by the Steiners theme song. The old house on the corner of 34th and 8th rock and rolled as Scott took his familiar pose on the top rope while brother Rick circled the ring barking like a dog. Everything appeared normal before ring announcer Howard Finkel made a drastic announcement just moments before the match. Finkel stated that this match was going to be governed by Province of Quebec rules, rules to which the Steiner brothers had agreed earlier in the day. The rules read as follows. 1. Titles can be lost by DQ. Titles can be lost by countout. Pile drivers are illegal. Jumping off the top rope is illegal, and throwing an opponent over the top rope is illegal. This announcement was to be the beginning of the end for the champions. The match got off to a sizzling start as Rick Steiner took an early advantage by manhandling both Jacques and Pierre. After a tag, Pierre turned the tide when he caught Scott in the face with a big boot. He followed it up with a forearm from the second rope, dropping Scott to the canvas, while Pierre went to his corner to tag his partner. Scott somehow managed to tag Rick. Immediately upon re-entering the ring, Rick set Jacques up for the pile driver. Scott frantically stopped his brother, reminding him that pile drivers were illegal in the match. At this time came the turning point, as Johnny Polo showed up ringside holding a hockey stick, which the crowd focused its attention on Polo. Rick was roughing up Pierre in the ring. When Rick climbed to the top rope to finish a beaten Pierre, Scott once again had to pull him down, reminding him that the move was illegal in this bout. While Rick climbed down, Johnny Polo gathered his troops and headed down the runway for a conference. Upon their return to the ring, the Quebecers' plan was evident. They double-teamed Scott, putting him in a bad way for what seemed like an eternity. Jacques and Pierre unmercifully beat Scott. Scott made numerous attempts to tag his brother, but the Quebecers constantly cut him off at the pass. Finally, Scott was able to tag Rick, and the dog-faced gremlin entered the ring, salivating. Using up everything he had left, Scott used the Frankensteiner on Pierre, and the match appeared to be locked up for the Steiners until Jacques made a last-minute save. In desperation, Johnny Polo climbed up on the apron to see what he could do to help his tag team. Polo never got the chance to do anything, as Rick immediately clocked him. Johnny dropped to the floor, but his hockey stick dropped down into the hands of Jacques. With the referee's back turned, Jacques tried to scalp Scott with the stick. Not only did Scott block the move, but he snatched the stick away from a now helpless ex-bounty. In one swooping motion, Scott cracked the stick over Jacques' back just as referee Dave Hebner turned around. Hebner called for the bell, and the Steiners were disqualified. The Canadians' hands were raised in victory as they strapped on the tag team belts. It's fabulous, Johnny said. When the Quebecers entered the Federation, they knew that in a matter of time, the belts would be theirs. That's why they enlisted the aid of Johnny Polo. Manager extraordinaire, Polo continued. The Steiners were dodging them, but with my legal expertise and my lawyers, we got the belt shot, and the first time out, we got the belts. And the article continues on a little bit from there. Some of these folks, in case you don't know, Rick and Scott Steiner, obviously should know them. Jacques Rougeau was, you know, one of the Mounties, previously the Mountie, now the Quebecers, I should say. Previously, he was the Mountie. Pierre is still around to this day, PC3. Yes, if you're maybe you're a fan of the current PC3, well, that is Pierre the Quebecer. And Johnny Polo was, of all people, later better known as Raven. Yes. Hard to believe such weirdly diverse characters as Scott Levy has played during his career. Next up, we get an article on Razor Ramon about having the Intercontinental title. Now, I guess that's the other big news. The tag team titles have changed hands. Shawn Michaels was stripped of the Intercontinental title, and Razor Ramon won the championship, so he gets featured there. Then we get an article on Smoky Mountain Wrestling, which is written by Lou Gianfrido. Let's see, we got photos of, looks like Tom Pritchard and Jimmy Del Rey. I can't really make out who this is in the upper right corner with a belt around his neck. I don't know the way it's shot, and it's done in like black and white. I can't really make out who that is. There's Brian Lee and, yes, Tammy Sitch. Photo, she's going to be a big star in WWF soon. Hey, there's Bullet Bob Armstrong, the Bullet, putting a mask on. Rick and Scott Steiner, there's a photo of them. Some fans at ringside. Yep, they're in a working agreement at this point in time with Smoky Mountain Wrestling. There's the Rock and Roll Express. I guess that's Bobby Blaze maybe there with them. There's the Heavenly Bodies again. Tracy Smothers. Chris Candido, yep, he'll be coming in pretty soon also. Here's an ad for Tony Maloa's Sidekicks Soccer. I guess this is shoes of some sort, Adidas Foot Locker. With the most realistic mode, no, I guess this is maybe a video game. I don't know what this, yeah, Super Nintendo, I guess. With the most realistic Mode 7 soccer simulation ever to take the field. So if you're a soccer fan, maybe you know what that is. Got some weirdly odd video games being plugged in this magazine. World Wrestling Federation Trivia by Larry Humbler. Let's see if we know any of these. Sons of a Gun. Billy and Bart Gunn grew up on a ranch near what Texas city? I have no idea. What did their father raise on his ranch? I'm guessing llamas or giraffes or something like that. In what cowboy competitions did they once take part? Clown wrangling, I'm not sure. Tattoo you. Bam Bam Bigelow was still a teenager when he had his skull tattooed. True or false? Don't know, don't care. It took the artist more than 10, 20, or 30 hours to complete the entire job. I guess that's depending on how slow his tattoo artist was. Bam Bam recently told World Wrestling Federation magazine that his next tattoo was going to be of what? No idea. What are the names of the World Wrestling Federation's three syndicated shows? Well, now it's Raw, SmackDown, and I don't know. Who cares? I don't know what it was. What was it back then? Superstars Challenge and Raw, I guess. Sergeant Slaughter was recently pictured in this magazine wearing a sports jacket with an unusual design. Can you describe it? I've no idea, but now I wonder. The 123 Kid has black belts in which forms of martial arts? Who knows? Taekwondo, Aikido, and Tong Sudo. I have no clue. Can you recall which National Football League team looked at the Steiner brothers? None of them. That would be none. Lex Luger had a stint with another NFL team, one of the league's oldest. Do you know which team it was? And what was it, the New York Jets that Luger got a look from? He played football in the USFL and then a little bit in the CFL. I don't think he ever actually played any in the NFL, but somebody did give him a look, and I think it was the Jets. What NFL football league team thought enough of Tatanka to offer him a contract? That'd be none. Lex Luger works out in the gym 3, 4, 5, 3, 4 or 5 days a week. Well, I'm sure Lex Luger probably 7 days a week. He never lacks for physical facilities. Can you explain? Don't know. I guess there was a gym on the Lex Express bus, which is a thing right now. Luger likes to relax with a round of what? Cocaine. All right. The official WWF merchandise catalog now is going to make up several pages. Let's see if there's anything interesting in here we want. You get the foam urn of the Undertaker. Undertaker's got a whole page here. He's got a dumb-looking cap. Doesn't even look like a cap. The Undertaker t-shirt looks okay, I guess. It's sort of in the style of like an old horror movie. He's got a jacket. Oh, wow. Paul Bearer's wearing the WWF Undertaker jacket. Like, who would ever wear that anywhere? Undertaker poster. I guess that's all right. Yep, nothing. Oh, a teddy bear dressed as the Undertaker. Here's Bret Hitman Hart's pages. Of course, you can get the sunglasses. That makes perfect sense. They were $5.95 each back in the day, in case you were wondering. Pink wristbands. I guess that makes sense, too. A Bret Hart t-shirt. It kind of looks like a boy band, boy rock band kind of t-shirt, like it's New Kids on the Block or something like that. So I guess that's fine for here in 1993. What's with these dumb hats? These dumb, like, painter's caps. This is now Bret Hart's got one, too, and they look ridiculous. A keychain of a leather of the Bret Hart leather vest. I guess that's all right. Bret Hart also has a teddy bear as well. Here's Hulkus Hogan. He's got some merch out still. The bandana makes sense. The Hulkamania hand-cut t-shirt. Well, that makes sense, too, I guess. Here's another one of these dumb painter's hats. Hulk Hogan. Imagine that. I guess they must have got a deal on these or something. All right, let's see here. I'll get to the good. I like the deep-cut merchandise for, like, really obscure people. Like, you can buy a Hulkamania t-shirt wherever. I want to see like some weird like Repo Man stuff or whatever. Gosh, they got like calendars in here and all kinds of stuff. Get to the good merchandise. It's like page after page of this. Oh wow, no, I guess nothing so far. Maybe we'll find out, because now we go to the December calendar. I guess you can pin this up on your wall. 1-2-3 Kid is the pin up for December, if you're interested in such a thing. You get his superstar bio. He's 1-2-3 Kid. He's from Minneapolis, Minnesota. He weighs 218 pounds. That's a stretch. He's 6'1" tall. His favorite food, this has got to be a joke, string beans. Likes competing for the Federation. Dislikes people who discount his ability. Titles held, none as of present. All right, come on, there's more to this catalog. I just got to get over there to it. All right, here, Lex Luger, of course. This is the Lex Express era, so you know there's tons of Lex Luger memorabilia in here. A t-shirt, presumably it's too tight, Billy. It's got Lex on it. Two different designs, by the way, heavily incorporating the red, white, and the blue. There's a Lex Luger bodybuilder poster in here. Oh, Randy Savage. Of course, we got to have Randy Savage merchandise, right? Heavy doses of neon greens and neon blues. This is the neon cowboy hat wearing era of Macho Man. A pretty sweet looking little jacket here, I have to say. It's got like a Macho Man logo on it. Big picture of Macho Man with your like typical early 90s neon stuff, but it's actually a decent enough looking jacket. Razor Ramon's got a pretty cool looking t-shirt, actually. It's a giant photo of himself. It's yellow. It says Razor Ramon down one side. The only thing that that I look at this shirt is it's yellow faded into white. Like one side's yellow and it fades into white. This looks like even a good shirt by 2023 standards. The only thing is, and this would probably get you beat up in the schoolyard, it says oozing machismo across there. That's probably, if they had left that off, this would be a perfectly acceptable t-shirt. Oh, I love this. Giant cowboy hats for the smoking guns. Yes. And they are $11.95 each for gigantic foam smoking gun cowboy hats. Wow. Here's a Crush poster. Gene Okerlund doing the fakest smile you've ever seen on a human being, selling a WWF coffee mug. There's a WWF clock that at noontime, guess who's straight up and down center of the clock noon? That'd be one Hulkus Hogan. At the 2 o'clock hour is The Undertaker. At the 5 o'clock hour is Randy Savage. 7 o'clock hour, surprisingly, it's, I would have thought it'd be somebody else, but it's Kurt Hennig. And then at the 10 o'clock hour, Bret Hart. And they're done in cartoon fashion, by the way. Oh, you can get WWF boxer shorts, like, you know, that's going to get you laid. There's another one of these stupid painter's hats with just the WWF logo on it. Hacksaw Jim Duggan foam 2x4. Cost you $4.95. All right. I guess that's... Oh, here's some belts. I guess these are very early replica belts. These are look like the foam type kids belt. They've got a WWF championship, a intercontinental, and a tag team championship belt. Here is Hacksaw Duggan with two frightened looking children sitting on his lap as he's playing Santa Claus, I guess. I hope that's what he's doing. If not, call the police, please. Silver Vision presents Coliseum Home Video releases Muscle In on WWF Action. And there, of course, is Lex Luger all oiled up, flexing his muscles. So we got here. Here's our videotapes, our VHS tapes. We can get SummerSlam 93. Lex's biggest failure is what that should be. Bret Hitman Hart, The Undertaker, his greatest matches. King of the Ring, featuring Yokozuna and Hulk Hogan on the cover. Bashed in the USA, looks like Mr. Perfect and Razor Ramon on the cover of that. And an Invasion of the Body Slammers. Available at all good video stores in the UK now. And also in the US, I would say. Keith Elliott Greenberg has an article up now on... Ludwig Borga. Yes, here's the big feature article. Ludwig Borga, the 300-pound monster from Finland, says that he will break the backbone of America when he steps in the ring with Lex Luger. Borga despises the United States and those who represent it, such as Lex Luger. You know, Tony Halme was, he caught people's attention over in Japan. Like, he's a big dude, big strong dude, scary-looking guy. Man, he didn't do anything in WWE. He was just in for a minute. You know, basically, he was custom made for WWE. He looked scary. He looked big. He looked muscular. But, man, he just didn't do anything. He went on to actually have a few UFC mixed martial arts fights. He didn't do very well at MMA. And then he went back home to Finland or wherever he was from. I think Finland. He got elected to whatever their parliament is. Went crazy and killed himself. That's literally what happened. I mean, and I don't say that in a negative light about making, you know, any sort of fun of mental health issues. Obviously, we talk a lot about that at when it was cool, doing away with the stigma of it and stuff. But he literally had a mental break, and I think he got arrested. I think he did, like, several things, got in some trouble, and ultimately killed himself. It was quite the downfall for one Tony Ludwig Borga Halme. There is a article in here about Thanksgiving wrestling, the foreign fanatics. It's got the Quebecers, Yokozuna, and Ludwig Borga. So this is hyping up the Survivor Series preview. Got the Hearts on here. This is the one Jerry Lawler gets in trouble. This is the Jerry Lawler at his nights, where Jerry Lawler gets in trouble with the alleged sexual improprieties, the charges of which were later dropped, but he was indicted, I believe, or something. And yeah, I think he was actually indicted, but anyway, he's pulled off this show, replaced by Shawn Michaels. You had the Black Knight, the Blue Knight, and the Red Knight, of which, and I don't remember all of them, there's one of them I'm forgetting, but the Black Knight was Jeff Gaylord. Yes, bank robbing Jeff Gaylord, who recently passed away. Rest in peace, you crazy son of a gun, Jeff Gaylord. One of them, I think the Blue Knight, was Greg the Hammer Valentine. And I don't remember who the Red Knight was. I mean, maybe, I don't know, Pat Tanaka or something like that. I don't remember. Let's see if I can Let's visit the Google machine and see if we can find this out. Who were the Knights? I'm yelling this at the computer, by the way, because apparently the cap slot's on for some reason. Who were the Knights in WWF Survivor Series? All right. They were Jeff Gaylord as the Black Knight, Greg Valentine as the Blue Knight, and Barry Horowitz as the Red Knight. Okay, well, that makes perfect sense. So, anyway. And, again, Jerry Lawler replaced his captain by Shawn Michaels. Here's a big poster for the Survivor Series. You got Lex Luger looking like a maniac in the middle, waving a knife at you. That's frightening enough. Tatanka looks like, I don't know, he's about to dive upon a turkey with a knife and fork. Of course, you got to have a stereotypical Indian in your Thanksgiving deal. Thanks, America. The Steiner brothers got forks. Scott isn't even looking at the food. He's just looking like straight at you with loving eyes, like, I love you, not the turkey. Rick looks crazy as ever. Live on pay-per-view Thanksgiving Eve, so we can mess with WCW. The Survivors. Okay, so Captain Razor Ramon, team members Kurt Hennig and Marty Jannetty and Sean. Well, I guess it's not teams of five striving to survive this year. It's teams of four struggling to implore. They are taking on Captain IRS, Mike Rotunda. Yes, Mike Rotundo, father of Bray Wyatt Sr., along with Kevin Nash, Diesel, Adam Bomb, who we've learned earlier in this issue is out of toxic water, and Rick Martel, looking absolutely hateable in like a sailor cap and a ascot. And I mean, like, Rick Martel was so great. You just look at this photo of Rick Martel and you just hate this guy. And they said he couldn't be a heel. Are you kidding me? Oh, here's another Survivor Series poster with men with forks and knives. The Quebecers, and this is a terrible rendition of Jacques. Yokozuna, good painting of him. And Tony Halme, yes, Ludwig Borga. Wow, what the artwork's pretty good on this, except for Jacques, who looks ridiculous. I don't even know what in the world they were even trying to. I don't know. His face just looks all whack. I wonder who did the art for this, because I mean, the art looks good. It just doesn't look like Jacques Rougeau or the Mountie or whatever you wanted to call him at this period of time. Tony Halme looks completely and utterly ridiculous here. Ludwig Borga. I'm having to type in a little something here. I want a screenshot of that for some cover artwork for a podcast. The Doink team. The captain is Doink, and then it's got different pictures of Doink across there. I think it's where he actually uses the little people wrestlers. The other team is the captain is Bam Bam Bigelow, along with the head shrinkers that looks like Fatu and Samu and Bastion Booger, of all people, for real. There's going to be a Smoky Mountain Tag Team Championship match, Rock and Roll Express against Heavenly Bodies. I remember that. Cross swords with the bloodiest pirate of them all. Yes, another video game ad, Hook for Sega Genesis. Remember Sega Genesis? That was actually a really great video game system that just never caught on up here. Then we get a little feature article and a very youthful looking 1-2-3 kid, Sean Waltman. I mean, he looks like he's straight out of like eighth grade in this. And the rest of the magazine looks like it's just, you know, assorted photos. Just, it's called Private Eye. It's just fan photo shots and stuff like this. Nothing anybody would care anything about. The Jerry Lewis Telethon. I guess WWF sent some folks to the Jerry Lewis Telethon. More house ads. So let's see here. There's, a question. Yokozuna, how does it feel to be slammed? says Robert Blunt of McGuire Air Force Base, New Jersey. The answer, Jim Cornette served as Yokozuna's spokesman. It wasn't a slam, idiot. It was a hip toss. Remember, Yokozuna's the champion. Man, it's the deep reading like that that you get from the WWF magazine. You got to love it. Marty Jannetty, can you tell me what it was like to win the Intercontinental title, especially after several attempts, says Steve Young of Lincraft, New Jersey. Answer, terrific. But next time I own the title, I'll keep it. Bet on that. Well, that, as it turns out, is a lie. Tatanka, what World Wrestling Federation superstar do you think might be the one who defeats you? Asked Christopher Wallace of Miami, Florida. Tatanka says, who knows? What I do know is that every time I wrestle, I give my all. Even so, the stars of the Federation are such great athletes that almost anyone can beat anybody else on any given night. That's a fact of Federation life. That's a pretty good answer, I guess. Then we get a puzzle, a Hulk Hogan puzzle. Can you spot the difference? And then finally, up close, got Jerry Lawler smacking a pie into somebody's face. I can't tell who. It was Howard Finkel, I guess, of whom he slaps in the face with a pie. And that, my friends, wraps up the December 1993 issue of the World Wrestling Federation magazine. A utter waste of time of a magazine. I like the After Mags much, much more. You got much, much more diversity in there. And, I mean, it's just... So it's a big magazine, but it's just so, so simplistic. But there you go. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for enjoying a piece of wrestling nostalgia with me. And we'll be back again soon with another show.
WhenItWasCool.com is your source for the best in retro pop culture. When It Was Cool features articles and podcasts on retro TV and movies, toys, action figures, pro wrestling, food, video games, and more. Hit the Patreon button to support us and get instant access to hundreds of premium podcasts and features. Family friendly and fun. WhenItWasCool.com.